Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
What are we doing here talking to each other when we have an esteemed guest?
Yes.
A very talented podcaster, a Next Up fellow from Anna Hosnier's Next Up initiative. She was formerly a trained esthetician, but since completing the program has moved into podcasting full-time, has a new show out on iHeart right now. Go listen to it. It's called Beauty Translated, which is all about celebrating the trans experience. Please welcome Carmen Lauren!
Carmen!
Hello, how are you guys?
Welcome. We're good.
I have to say, as a longtime listener, it was very surreal to watch that just now, the whole intro.
No, Carmen.
In the time. Fact that we do the whole thing just completely dead-eyed, looking off into the middle distance without moving.
The fact that it also looks like shit, not only sounds like it, really blew me away. Wow. 10 out of 10.
Wow. I loved it. It was great.
Carmen, congrats. It's a big day for, we know whenever a podcaster has their show go out to the world, it's a big day. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you so much.
Just play that little heart music that delivery wards have when a baby is born. We do that at iHeart whenever a new podcast is launched into the world.
Yeah, the story comes.
That's what it feels like. Working on it since August. Yeah, it's really nice that it's finally out into the world today. So thank you.
Yeah. And tell people a little bit about what they can, you know, expect from listening to the show and kind of like your background and all that.
Yeah. So my background as an esthetician, I created the show thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to make a show about beauty and about like skincare products and cosmetics and things like that. But I also really, as a transgender woman, I wanted to speak specifically to transgender guests about their experience, because that's something that I've always found like as an interest. As an esthetician, I, in the South, I had to pretend to not be trans in order to survive. And so this is like the first time where I get to kind of talk about those things in a podcast where, you know, each guest, I find that they have something, you know, uniquely beautiful about them, but we're not talking about beauty. We're actually talking about like much bigger topics and conversations that are
amazing
about their lives, all of that.
And your skin looks fantastic. What is a step I can take as a crusty dude? What's the first step I could take to begin to be on a path of skin that looks like, you know, I got like that twilight glow?
Well, it always starts with prevention. So if you're not preventing sun damage by wearing SPF every day, then anything you're doing afterwards is going to be just... it's not going to have an effect. So,
okay.
Got to wear your SPF first and foremost.
Yeah.
That really seems to be the big one. It's like, this is boring, but you got to wear sunscreen or just don't go outside.
Yeah. 85 to 90% of all your skin aging is caused by the sun. So,
that makes sense.
Don't do it.
My mom, like from since the 90s, was driving with like forearm gloves. And I remember my friends being like, is she like a professional driver? Like trying to be funny. I'm like, no, she's Japanese and they don't fucking play with the sun. Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So no tans. No, none of that. Tans are.
Tanning, not good. Huh?
Tanning. Yeah,
but I just got
good.
A sunburn actually recently. And I.
No.
Yeah. But I almost drowned. So it was like.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I could have drowned in the ocean or I could have gotten a sunburn. So I would have taken the sunburn over drowning in the ocean.
I'm glad you're safe.
Wear life vests.
I mean, but what does drowning do for your skin? Like, that's the question, you know? Like, we have to take that into account. Probably not good, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the pallor of the ones you see in movies are always
I've seen
like,
Twin Peaks. I know what happened.
Twin Peaks. That's what I was thinking of Twin Peaks. And I was like, pretty beautiful dead body, but yeah, not great for the old complex.
Yeah.
No.
As I call it. Kina, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Thank you for asking, because I truly did go into the history. This is not for the bit. This is true. Christine Brown interviews Sister Wives 2022. I don't know if you're familiar with the TLC show Sister Wives, but it's about Cody Brown, the patriarch of a fundamental Mormon family. And they've had a TLC show for like 17 years. And recently one of their wives is saying, I'm done. Cody, you're an asshole. I'm through with this. And so when the world explodes and I can't look at that drama, some people kind of move back and they like do yoga or like they take a break. I want to lean in, but I want to lean in to like some meaningless shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can't read the news, but I do want drama. I do want tea. Mm-hmm. But just make it about this Mormon white woman. And then I spend hours and hours looking into, has she done any interviews? What's she up to now? She has a hobby. She has a cooking show. She lost a lot of weight. Christine's doing great.
So is she doing like SponCon? She living that like influencer life or what?
Yeah, well, their whole life is like being Mormon and having this show. But now she has a show called Cooking with Only Christine. Ooh. A little dig at her.
Oh, with only
the only
with only literally that's in the fucking title.
Wow.
with just right. Christine.
That's what I came for. Right.
She said, "Look, bitches, I've been done. You stay with that man with the balding head. But I'm through.
I'm the only Christine over
with
here.
Just Christine.
It's wild. You know, it's funny how so many people, myself included, like when you are so engaged with the news and current events and have to like really be analytical and think critically about it, like day in and day out, so many people retreat to garbage reality TV. Like,
oh yeah,
it's wild how I'm seeing this too. Like, I bring up Cerise Castle, who, you know, just won, I believe, like just received an award for her reporting on like gangs in the LA Sheriff's Department, who's like, you know, one of the most brave journalists I've ever seen, constantly dealing with death threats and stuff. And then I'm talking about 90 Day and I get DM like, hey, man, I want to come on the podcast talk about 90 Day Fiance. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like over here thanking you for your work. And you're like, I love 90 Day. And I see like how it's pretty much the opposite of what it means to be like engaged. It's to just engage
that's
with
the reality
trash.
I want to be in. You know what I mean? Right. It makes the world look so two-dimensional and it's comforting and you can just like accept the vision of the world they're giving you and you're like, great, no notes. This is
right,
perfect.
Right.
You're right. Exactly. You should move back to Utah, Christine. Cody is an asshole. Yes. That's all that matters.
Wait, back to Utah? She wasn't in Utah?
Yes. Ooh. So they fled Utah because they were criminalizing it and went to Las Vegas and lived in this cul-de-sac with these four houses, like a little, they all have this whole family cul-de-sac. And then they moved to Arizona for some reason. But Christina, she's feeling her heart being drawn back to Utah because it's not a crime anymore and she wants to live her truth, but I think she's going to move into monogamy. So,
okay.
Wow. All right.
Okay, Christina.
Yeah, I've spent days. So, my life is 100% Christine.
Yeah, when I Google Sister Wives, I get autocompletes of season 17. So, this has been going on for a while, Sister Wives.
Oh, yes. I think they have like 25 kids.
Right. Like since the days of Big Love.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of babies, you know.
I mean, I feel like it came on the heels of Big Love almost.
Got it.
I don't think I've ever seen Big Love.
Oh,
it was
like an
HBO prestige show.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was about like a similar scenario with like three connected homes with very different, I think three wives, right? And then Bill Pullman?
Yep.
Yeah, nailed it. I'm getting so good. I don't think I've misidentified a Pullman Paxson in a while. So my training has paid off. I think I just said his name wrong, but
I think it is. It's Paxson, isn't it?
Paxson, yeah. Paxson. I said Paxson, like he's Jim or John.
The one who passed away, right? Oh yeah, see? Big Love came out 2006. Sister Wives season 1, 2010.
There it is. Mm.
I felt like that was like that sort of brought in the conversation. We're like, yo, we can there's the real life version up the street we can talk about.
What about this reality show? Like, why this instead of 90 Day Fiancé?
Yeah, thank you. That's the hard question.
I think that 90 Day Fiancé feels too gimmicky, and it's almost like too easy for me to understand. Like, I get getting to a place in your life, not that this applies to everybody, but you're sad and you just want something exciting, and wouldn't it be crazy to marry someone from another country and bring them over, and like, you just want to be messy.
Right,
I get that feeling. I can connect to it. I was there 2 weeks ago. Sister Wives, right? Where like they all have this religious aspect and they've all been together for so long. And then you have the new wife, Robin, who like is clearly the favorite and he's spending all this time with her because they have young children. And then the three wives were like, oh, no, I'm so okay with this. I don't even like spending every night with my husband because actually I'm like, I have all these hobbies. And then they're like, get so deep into like, and it's this huge like sunk cost fallacy, right? They have all these fucking kids. It's all intertwined. Once you're unhappy, what do you do at that point? And in the last interview, Christine says that she was like thinking about renovating and she was like, well, we'll put our room on the opposite side of the house so we can have some intimacy. And then she asked Cody, like, do you even think we'll need that anymore? And he's like, nah, not really. I mean, you can just put the house, like, put the rooms anywhere.
Oh.
And she was like,
he didn't even like take that as the very clear,
just
like,
no look.
Do you even need that shit anymore, man? No. And he was instead
I'm
of
good.
Being like, what do you mean? Oh my God,
babe,
of course
what?
We still need it. What?
Babe,
exactly.
Number three, of course I love you, number three.
And even in my darkest days, I don't think I could ever do that much mental gymnastics, knock on wood. But like they're all participating in this like kind of shared delusion. Oh, I fucking love it. It's like more nuanced.
Yeah.
90 Day Fiancé is too simple.
Right, because 90 Day Fiancé, very easy to wrap your head around like the interpersonal drama. This takes like interpersonal drama and then puts like a seven dimensions on top of
it.
Right.
There's like Heavenly Father, and then they're all like they're white and from Utah, but now they're in Las Vegas. Like
stifling actually communicating your needs to a partner every time. Yeah, I feel it.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, I'm gonna get dragged for this.
No.
So years ago, I'm a watcher of the Game Show Network.
Okay.
I love game shows.
Yes.
My whole family loves game shows.
Yes.
We love them. You know, we've gone to the Wheel of Fortune Live. We've gone to AGT Live. We just love it. There was a show called Lingo. There was a game called Lingo. And Lingo was two teams trying to guess what a five-letter word was.
Right.
If you know, you know.
Huh.
And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So my thing that's overrated right now and really gets to me.
Don't do it to him.
I'm sorry, New York Times. Wordle.
my heart.
Wordle totally stole Lingo's idea. Yeah. I am standing by that. If you're a Lingo fan, you know that's my thing that I think is overrated. Well, is that really overrated? It's overrated. Yes.
It's overrated as like an original creation.
As like, maybe. It's stolen.
Mm,
and now people are like, Wordle. Where were you when Lingo was alive?
That's right.
You weren't on the Lingo train.
I was completely ignorant because I'm a big Wordle head.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Like, I just do it as a guilty pleasure. My streak's at 164, so I'm feeling pretty good.
You not doing it? Okay.
Yeah. I don't like agree with it philosophically. I just like think it's like fun and like do it as a guilty
pleasure.
Because
it's Lingo.
Because exactly. It's Lingo. And I didn't even know. Now I have to go back and watch Lingo.
You have to watch Lingo.
Yeah.
I too was a new convert to Lingo, and seeing it after the fact, after Wordle, was like another. Another
you've
that
seen
was,
it?
Well, yeah. I mean, now it was it was one of those things where it's like you learn about Wordle, it's like, oh, what's this? And you think it's so fresh and new. And then Lingo Hive comes up and says, now you all see what we've been loving for generations. And it's like, oh man.
Is it the same mechanism where you guess by letter and they tell you like,
wow.
Exactly.
Yeah,
if the letter turns green, that means it is the correct letter in the right place. If it is yellow, it is a correct letter, but not in the right place.
Mm. Wow. The colors and everything.
Colors, Duke.
What is something that you think is underrated?
Oh, Eastern hats.
Eastern.
Easter hats?
Eastern.
Hats. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I had to say, ooh, don't let my black grandma hear you say that.
No, Easter hats are amazing. They're highly rated and they're appropriately rated. I love Easter hats. No, what is underrated is, I think, Eastern styles of hats versus Western styles of hats. I've been watching this Persian drama series called Jayron. I got into it when I had COVID. And it's set in like the 1800s, roughly like, it doesn't really like, you know, stick to a year, but it's like 1800s up to like 1920s maybe. So it's the Qajar dynasty. So there's like a king. It's about this like beautiful girl and the king sees her and he's like, I must have you. And she's like, no, I wish to marry my peasant boyfriend, Siavash. And he's like, no, you have to marry me. Anyways, it's great. And a bunch of guys on it wear these hats that are like, I can actually, I'll send you a picture right now. Jack O'Brien has written Eastern hats. I've given you a link to a picture of a couple of these hats. They're very tall and they have no brim. And this is like an old Persian style of hat. If you've seen Jesus Christ Superstar, the Persian Jews in that movie wear these really tall, cool black hats that like look kind of like Pope hats. So there's just like a lot of different styles of hat.
It's like a beanie mixed with a Pope hat. Like
It doesn't have a brim, so it doesn't shield your face from the sun at all. It just shields the top of your head, and mostly it's about status.
Makes you look tall as fuck.
Makes you look super tall. Like, some guys have these really tall hats. Some of them are tall and kind of pointy. Mostly they're black wool. Some guys have these, like, little kind of round hats that make, it makes the top of their head look like a minion.
Yes.
But a black minion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love this.
This is a great series.
Do you know what this hat is called? The Abe Lincoln beanie?
I don't know what any of these hats are called. I'm definitely going to try and find out, but here's another.
All right, we will link off to a picture of it in the footnotes, and you can do the research for us.
There's the Minion hat.
I want to buy some of these hats. I'm looking at them now. I want to buy some of these hats. I have too much hair, I think. Or not too much hair. My hair is just froed out. So unless I'm wearing braids, I can wear hats.
Gives you a little room up there.
But yeah, I wanna buy one of these hats and bring them in fashion. I wish I was in the NBA. That's what we need to bring these hats like to like modern fashion or to like cult to the culture and to street fashion because that's when fashion hits.
Yes,
is when black folks start doing shit. Yes. That's when everybody start doing shit. Black folks and LGBTQ people. Whenever those communities wear fucking fashion, that's when they hit the mainstream. So we need like the NBA and the WNBA to like,
and it would look
bring
great.
This forward. Yeah, yeah.
It's nice. It's a hat made for people with thick hair. It's like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. You're gonna pile up all your hair and then put this hat on top of it. You know,
right. Oh yeah, and that a dramatic. You take it off and just like shake your hair out.
Mm-hmm. like Nick Cage walking off the plane in Con Air.
Yes.
Like, you let your hair hit the wind.
Mm-hmm. Although, yes. it's so interesting because he has so much hair, but he's also like clearly losing his hair in that movie. Like the hairline is moving back,
but he's rocking
there's
it.
So much hair. Yeah. So such
confidence. I imagine right before that shot, he took his Eastern hat off.
Yeah.
And let Hell the yeah. sun hit his full head and just was reveling in it.
But yeah, the ones that I'm sending you guys are like specifically Persian hats, but there are very similar styles like all across Asia. And I think that it's just an area that we in the West have not explored fashion wise.
Yeah. This is right. Very dope.
Glad all you guys right. like these hats.
Great. Underrated. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Supreme Court. And then we will transition quickly to the Minions.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And yeah, let's dig into it. The big interview, VP Kamala Harris went on CNN and just kind of walked through her experience with the news. And I don't know, it didn't seem like she was inspired to action. So I didn't feel like, I don't know, it wasn't reassuring, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I think just to set the table, right? This is the first time she's making an appearance to speak officially.
Right.
This is like against the backdrop of AOC calling for abortion clinics. And I mean, many people saying, why don't you open abortion clinics on federal land in red states? Or Elizabeth Warren saying the same thing, like you could declare a medical emergency to set up medical clinics like near national parks, near federal land, and try and at least create a place for people to get care. So while all that's happening, this is what you know, the question, this is the line of questioning, and this is the response that we get from Vice President Harris.
Federal land that might be in and around states that ban abortion?
I think that what is most important right now is that we ensure that the restrictions that the states are trying to put up that would prohibit a woman from exercising what we still maintain is her right, that we do everything we can to empower women to not only seek but to receive the care where it is available.
Is federal land one of those options?
I mean, it's not right now what we are discussing, but I will say that when I think about what is happening in terms of the states, we have to also recognize, Dana, that we are 130 odd days away from an election, which is going to include Senate races, right? Part of the issue here is that the court has acted, now Congress needs to act. But we, if you count the votes, don't appear to have the votes in the Senate. Well, there's an election happening in 130 odd days. I'm taking, for example, thinking of a Senate race in Georgia. Or
okay, so we just took a hard turn into electoral town when the question was, what can be done to help people that are in immediate need? And it was just a lot of pivoting. In fairness to Kamala, right? There are some issues with providing abortion care on federal land. That's like the Hyde Amendment is the whole thing. Like the Hyde Amendment prohibits federal funds from being used for abortions, only in the event of like rape or incest or to save the life of the mother. So that's the time the federal funds can be used. So it's thorny, right? Because immediately I'd imagine these red states would go and be like the Hyde Amendment or whatever. But, you know, when you think about it, the Hyde Amendment has been an obstacle that a lot of activists and people who are advocating for abortion acts have been like, you have to get rid of this. Because if you get rid of that, that allows for safer access, especially for poor people. That's who really benefits from federal funds being able to be used to provide this kind of care. Sadly, just to go back a year and a half or so, 2 years, Joe Biden was the only presidential candidate that supported keeping the Hyde Amendment. And he only pivoted when it became politically beneficial to him. If only, right? That was something that he could have even done in the beginning of taking office that may put more options on the table. The other thing is, like, I just don't understand the response from the vice president. If she was she unaware of the problems that would arise with what Elizabeth Warren and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez were proposing? And if you were not unaware and you were aware, why not explain those issues, provide, you know, articulate an alternative and demonstrate to people, at least on some level, that there is some thought going into this? And I don't like, again, that she said the priority right now is to fight the restrictions that are being put in place. Well, they are in place already. And there are people already turning away people looking for this kind of care, and their lives are potentially hanging in the balance. So what is happening? What are you telling the people right now, like, that need some kind of alternative? That's why, like, where's that sense of urgency? It freaks me out to hear somebody be like, well, you know, there is an election in 130 days.
Yeah.
It's straight up like it's like be a shame if type shit. Yeah. Like it's straight up feels like you're being extorted to go vote. And it's not like they're going to be very disappointed if that is their strategy. But that does not inspire confidence to be like, this time we swear we're going to do the thing that we said we were going to do.
Most voters, unfortunately, are on their first, I swear.
Right.
You know, like, and not to say that, like, don't fucking do this, but it's a very effective tactic. It's a very effective tactic. I mean, we talked about just the swing in the polling that happened because it is a very effective tactic. And it freaks me out again to know that there are people right now. There's even that woman in Malta, right, who's like couldn't get an abortion to save her life, but had to get like flown to Spain to be able to do that. There are people right now who need help literally right this second in places where they cannot get it.
Yeah.
And I don't like that proposition, because that proposition is always put in front of politicians. There are always, just like in the summer of 2020, there are people of color who are at risk of being killed by police. We need to address this right now. There are people, all these transphobic bills that are popping up in schools. We need a response right now. But it's just like, I think they don't want to also signal like independents or moderates who are undecided that like, we're not like fully on some like lib shit and we're just going to come through with some sweeping like, we saved the women type shit. We're not going to go that far.
If that was the issue, this is a overwhelmingly popular, like, the overturning of Roe is like wildly unpopular. Like, that's always been my thing is like, yes, America's like a moderate country, more moderate than me. They're probably like do have some math behind the scenes. But like, this one is like a open and shut, like, we act now to fix the thing that will make us more popular. And rather than fixing the thing becoming more popular now, they are doing the, we can't fix it too fast. We gotta hold it out there as a thing we could do if we voted. And not that like it's easy. Like, right, there's probably problems with all the solutions that people are suggesting right now that would be made easier if there were more Democrats in the Senate and the House. But like, fight. We need to see you fight. We need to see you have ideas that are strong and like prove that you are willing to do difficult things to help people to
just like, don't miss me with the voting shit. Like, what, in your heavily fucking gerrymandered district where they've already are the architects of your demise and are ensuring your vote doesn't count? That's also a problem too, Democrats. If your insistence is on this mechanism of electoral politics, you haven't even fucking got, they're not even playing on a level playing field there. And you're still like, hey, do the thing where it's terribly skewed in the opposite direction and not even address that dysfunction. It just feels there's like so many layers to get through, like where you just find yourself burnt out trying to think of what's going to work best.
Yeah. It's like they just kind of threw their hands up and we're like, just the messages, all that they have to say is go vote. But again, like, you know, if you're like you're saying, Miles, if you live somewhere like, for example, Georgia, where they just made it illegal, for example, to pass out bottles of water to people waiting in line, but not illegal for you to have to wait in line for over 8 hours to cast a vote.
Right.
You know, like that doesn't do anything but just continue to frustrate people, you know?
Yeah.
I'm frustrated.
And you know what? And people they reveal themselves to be resilient because despite that, they'll still go and participate in this process because the message typically is your fucking life's on the line right now. And a lot of people hear that. And it sucks that part of this deal is dangling existential threats over people's head, but there's no... How can we demand accountability back aside from them being like, oh, what are you going to do? Let the fucking fascist fully take over? And that's like such a terrible fork in the road to constantly to look at. And you're like, where is another fork?
It's not a long-term strategy for making the lives of the people who you govern better, which is supposed to be your job. It's
It's how do I stay here? How do I stay here? How do I stay here? How do I stay here?
Extorting them for votes
in this office.
There's also a part of the interview where she's like, it's one thing to like know it's going to happen, but it's another to like actually have it happen, which is definitely true. But it's like, that's true for me, like as somebody who like isn't the vice president of the United States, but like I would have expected there to be things in the works immediately. Like they had their trigger laws ready to go when Roe was overturned. What about, like, how did this not trigger just a whole fucking...
Well, you know, we just assumed we'd be able to
hurricane escape of lawsuits and, like, everything. Like, it really feels like... I don't know who did the leak, but it does feel like the leak worked really well for the conservative side in that they did it. They saw that the, you know, mainstream Democratic Party was not going to scramble to like do what was necessary to make sure that like this shit was not going to happen and was not going to kill people.
They gave them bodyguards.
Right. And so they were like, all right, well, I guess we can go with the strongest version of this possible. And the people who are like the head of the executive branch would be like, oh man, I didn't really think they were going to do it. What the heck? That's, come on.
Yeah.
For real. For real.
Steady leadership.
They've done everything they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. And now what they're going to say is, you know what happens if the Senate, if they get a majority, they're going to nuke the filibuster and go for a national ban on abortion.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
That, almost like, yeah, y'all should have done that first.
And what the fuck were you doing? You guys were circle jerking around the fucking ancient racist tradition of the filibuster. I'm like, oh, we can't. I mean, it would just be so out of norms to guarantee people voting rights. But then
remember,
the other
when
side
we used to be
like,
able to get lunch together.
Yeah. Oh. And guess what? They don't give a fuck. And like, stop acting. Like, wake the fuck up. Anyway, so a lot's on the plate.
All right, let's talk about this latest Supreme Court decision. It regards a football coach, a high school football coach for a public school, who basically came out and was like, he started praying by himself, but everybody was like, ooh, he seems to like it when we pray with him after the games. So then it became this big thing where he would like basically deliver a sermon at the end of football games, and his players, you know, would obviously feel pressured to like be there and be like the best Christian prayer at this public school. So people noted it to the school board. The school board was like, hey, could you not do that? And he turned it into, you know, every white Christian male's favorite thing, which is like a opportunity to be like, they hate us because we're Christian. And like the next game, he kneeled to pray and did his sermon, and all the news cameras were there. And the school
like
board
it was
like,
Elvis, like if he yeah. if he's going to wiggle his hips and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And the school board was like, I mean, could you just like pray and I don't know, like by yourself somewhere? And he was like, you're like the Nazis, basically. And so they put him on leave, and that was the Supreme Court decision, was like he was being persecuted for his Christianity. And I don't know, it just, like reading the opinion, I just kept thinking of Brett Kavanaugh and how mad he was that he had to even like face questioning, like the whole narrative around him being like, what is this? I'm being attacked. I like to drink beer. You know, like just like the most inarticulate, dumb, but like full of righteous indignation display by a human that maybe I've ever seen. But that seems to be the game, is that they want to turn themselves as like one of the least oppressed groups of humans, maybe in the history of Earth, becoming less repressed with each Supreme Court decision. They, like the one thing that they can't be in America is oppressed by the system, because they are the system. And the whole text and belief system is based on worshiping a person who was persecuted, and I just feel like it's never sat comfortably with them, like that they don't get to be turned into like the martyrs for being Christian. And I used to go to a public school that had like Fellowship of Christian Athlete things, where you had to like sit through the wildest, most like over the top, you're burning in hell if your soul is not saved by the Lord type shit. Like, and it was just, everybody did it because you wanted to like be on the basketball team, essentially. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, it's there's also the Rudy story, which is,
this is like, all this shit, right? Like, this is another, like, what happened to the fucking the establishment clause? You know, like most people point out, like, you have a public service, because this is a public school. So someone who's a public servant mixing religion, and that's becoming like what, a governmental entanglement or whatever, like the laws, like, you know, the the elements for the Establishment Clause to be met. But like, I, in looking at all of this right now, on top of this, the Roe decision, we're now also saying, you know what, theocracy is like actually the official, you know, now the official system of this country now, because church and state, we're not trying to separate them. It's church and state together. And I feel like every single moment we're like, the other thing that I guess that's frustrating as I look at all these things is that we're also being like batted around being told to respect these like ancient sheets of fucking paper, right? Whether it's the Bible or the Constitution. And those have somehow become these infallible fucking things where to lead your argument with that. The Constitution says, the Bible says, that has become just such a potent argument against fucking logic. That's another part that completely blows my mind, is that our deference to these things too is all like just continues this sort of like fucking trip up that we're experiencing judicially.
Well, I think what's funny about the coach situation is that let's say you remove religion and morality from it. It's concerning to me that a coach in charge of young, impressionable people can't understand the concept of coercion and persuasion, right? How, if you don't understand how a child would feel pressure to participate in a prayer that they don't want to participate in because you're an authority figure and you don't understand power dynamics, just the concept of it, you really should not be working with children.
Right.
Like, even if you don't get that concept, right, that how coercion manifests in this like coach mentor relationship, oh, I'm sorry, babe. Like, you just don't understand enough about human interaction to work with children.
And then to that, they would say, you know, they don't, for them, it's really not about coercion, right? Because for them, a kid's going to see a drag queen read a book at a library is coercion and grooming.
Oh,
like, they're so quick to use these concepts, but immediately it doesn't apply the other way. And I think that's why there was that Twitter thread from somebody saying like, this isn't like, to think of it as hypocrisy is completely wrong. Like, you can't get a conservative like, well, what about this though? But that's coercion, but then this isn't. That's not the game. The game is, it's a theocracy straight up. We want to completely erase and disappear for like marginalized people that don't fit with our, you know, Christian worldview. That's all it is. But we'll use the words of the law because we can't just be out here saying, we don't think gay people should be around. We don't like this. We don't like that. There are too many brown people here. So we can use our ancient sheets of paper to sort of justify what these sort of aims are and use like these cases that are really just at the end of the day, arguing for the fact that Christianity is the number one religion. Fuck anything else you're saying, because I'm sure I'm curious if someone in protest would be like, okay, let me test that out. I'm Muslim and I work for the city. Where's the line for me now? Because if this is saying like, are we then going to begin to dial it in more and have to be specific? That's like, well, it's actually, you know, Christianity, but the other religions, you know, we're not really.
So we weren't talking to you, babe.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing, that like we're also looking at a lot of these decisions like, yo, this doesn't even make sense. It's like, well, yeah, it doesn't make sense to us because we wouldn't try and have these laws over people that gave them no options. Like, in the same way that you could make an argument that says, you know what, I think Christianity's fucked up.
Right.
And I think it's been used to justify countless horrors since time immemorial. What I don't want, I don't think Bible should exist, because I don't want that near my child. I don't want my child to even have the opportunity to engage with that, because that's how they look at these other things.
But, oh, yeah. Yeah. If your child's teacher is gay, he's going to be gay. Like, the second your child walks into a room, if the teacher is gay, your 5-year-old's going to be sucking dick next week.
Right.
And like you're saying, it doesn't make sense, right? Because their truth is that those papers, whether they be in a book or on the Constitution, are law. So even their methods of getting to those laws being upheld, it almost doesn't matter. Like, if they kind of get there in a fucked up way. Like, at the end of the day, it was the right thing to do because it was moving towards making their paper's truth, right? So even if we did it in a shitty way, even if we did it unethically, it's ethical at the end of the day.
These ancient sheets of paper got my back, though. That's why. And I don't give a fuck everything else you're saying. And I think we do ourselves a disservice to continue to look at this group like, you know, we got two parties, right? We got the ones that are saying like, fuck what you want. This is a theocracy. Also, we love capitalism. Then we have the other group that's like, we love capitalism. We also kind of know what's fair, but at the end of the day, it's money over everything. So it's like, at the moment, it looks like the people who want to bring in the theocracy pose the largest threat to people's human rights, putting aside the financial economic oppression that we just generally experience under capitalism. But like, now to like even call this thing a political party, I think is just so far off base. And many people have been saying that for a long time. When you look at the kinds of things that these people read and the events they speak at, where you have people who are taking office like Secretary of State who are also believing in the end times.
Right.
You know, these aren't people who are actually looking at the world and like, this is the history of this country. These are the forces at work. They're like, no. This shit needs to happen so it matches up with the ancient sheets of paper.
Sky Daddy got to come back. And so I just got to make it happen, whatever Sky Daddy says.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier this idea that it feels like a lot of the energy comes from the pain they see it causing us and the rest of the country. Like, it does feel like that is a big part. That is a lot of the fuel, is that this is grievance. This is them feeling like they've been disrespected in some way. And just, they don't really care as long as it causes outrage on, like, among the on the left, but also, you know, the Democratic Party. Like, that does seem to be 100%. The guiding principle right now. And
yeah,
but that is a dark path to travel, because that ultimately is about dehumanizing. And like, that somebody made the point that, like, man, when you read the like grooming and child molesting shit from like the QAnons of the world talking about the Democratic Party, you really start to realize that they want to kill a lot of people. And like that instinct to be like, whatever causes the most pain, like that leads to very like dark, historically horrifying places. And it does seem like that is the magnetic north of this movement right now. I mean, that's really it. It's just, it does seem to be headed in a very dark direction that I'm not sure. Like, there are two parts of the resistance that are like, so one part is like, well, we've lost, and like doing anything practical, like, fuck all that. And like, I understand the frustration. And then the center-ish movement is like, I don't know. I'm worried that the side, like the leftist movement, isn't taking the urge to actually kill people seriously enough, is like a thought that keeps coming up for me as I kind of worry about reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've heard people at like city council meetings like bring up execution and shit. Like, you're like, what the fuck? And then you have like some people are like, yeah, I'm on that. I'll take that person at their word that is a world that they're trying to exist in.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not it gets to the plurality of people, that's like, I think that's really where we're at right now, trying to figure out which way this thing's going to go still. And I think it is tough because on one hand, like, the Democrats have completely botched their audition for having power.
Right.
And then on the other side of it, you've got literally these Christian murder terminators who are like, fuck what you heard. Like, there are no laws that can keep you safe if you're not on this team. And now you're finding, like, again, you're seeing it express itself in the voting polls, too. And this is like a thing that a lot of people are treating as like the one bright spot, like on like MSNBC, where it's like, you know, this is bad, but polling has swung 8 points in the Democrats' direction now. They were three underwater, and now they're up because of this. And yes, I get it, because suddenly a bunch of people became acutely aware of this existential threat. But then I'm like, for them to even talk about it as being like, well, here's a good thing for the right. for game of elections, rather than like actually, you know, I'm already going to take everything that that party's going to say with a grain of salt. But if they're at the very least able to articulate something that was like coherently a plan, they may do better than to just keep being like, you got to vote in November. And it sucks because it's so cynical, because we've seen them dangle so many other carrots in front of voters just to be like, yoink, that like you feel even like it feels even grosser in this situation, too, when you're like, man, they just literally just fucking took these rights away. Like, it was nothing.
I feel like their show of power to date has been hashtag thoughts and prayers. Right? Like, right. They talk about these issues and they put a lot of emotive language and make it all emotionally driven. And then it just is the biggest case of blue balls on the planet.
Mm. Right.
All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie? Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones? Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change? Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And Daniel, I'm just going to throw it over to you because you put this on my radar.
Indeed.
I'm ashamed to say I wasn't up on this.
This is one of those things where I like to text the group chat beforehand and say, did you guys already talk about this? And when Jack says no, my eyes just light up. So as a little bit of context for, I mean, I imagine most of the listeners know, but for our wonderful guests today, we are just woefully obsessed with fast food and all of the many facets and its moves in terms of offering just completely off the wall dishes to the people of the world. And anytime one of these pops up, we all hit each other and say, okay, who's eating it first? And this was another one, four words, two hyphenated, big Cheez-It tostada. I saw that and I went, ooh, baby, we're lighting up the group chat today. So yes, that's right, gang. Taco Bell is going off once again with this enormous Cheez-It stuffed into a Crunchwrap Supreme, the only Supreme thing, anything as far as I'm concerned, and at the base of a tostada. And it's the next thing I'm trying this weekend when I'm making bad decisions. And I'm very excited about it.
So are you referring to Supreme Pizza or Supreme...
Supreme Pizza. Right, no, right, you know, right. I don't like Supreme Pizza. Too many peppers. But
brand Supreme.
Exactly. So
has the Supreme Court ruined the? I think it was. Has the Supreme Court ruined the word Supreme for?
Yes, we can no longer use that word.
Yeah, we need to. Supreme needs to change his name.
They do.
Okay, so the Crunchwrap Supreme, for people who don't know, is the. It looks like a disc with a soft tortilla wrapped around it. Mm. Inside is. Mm. All of the ingredients that Taco Bell offers, yep. I think.
Mm-hmm.
The beef.
The seasoned beef, lettuce, tomatoes, cheese. One of the dressings, cheese. Mm-hmm. And then a crispy tortilla in the middle. Traditionally a crispy tortilla, but replaced with this delicious, enormous, cheesy monstrosity that is the big Cheez-It.
Mm.
I'm so stoked. It's a Cheez-It, but it covers the whole sandwich or whatever it is.
Kind of. So like, you're good. It's just like a big circular wrap. And then in the middle, kind of separating the meat from the cold ingredients, which that's just a revelation in general. Like, you know, you're not mixed, you know, you don't have to worry about like the meat making the lemon or the lettuce and the tomato too wilty. You have this nice barrier in between. So you get that bite and everything stays fresh. Ooh, amazing. And they just replaced that genius barrier with a giant Cheez-It.
Oh my
and
God.
I can hear people's stomachs just sing in an angel's chorus. It is a gift unto us that has been bestowed by this enormous conglomeration that is inevitably giving all of us problems. Where is the cheese?
Where's the melted cheese?
Underneath.
Under the Cheez-It?
Under the Cheez-It with the meat. It appears that there is melty, melty, melty cheese.
You are absolutely right about that. Yes, you have those little bits of cheese just sneaking through the meat there. Mm. Of course, every wonderful good thing comes with an unfortunate catch. And that is the fact that...
This will kill you.
Well,
you will eat this catch, until you are dead.
That is catch number A. But catch letter B is the fact that for all of our friends outside the state of California, this delicious treat is only available at one single Taco Bell location near the headquarters in Irvine, California. Now, for some people, they're turning off the podcast and say, God, how could you tease me with such delicious information? But I know at least three or four friend groups that are planning their pilgrimages as we speak, saying, gang, get the minivan. We're getting in the car this weekend and we're going to Irvine.
That's such an LA adventure.
Completely. Just like when Raising Cane's opened in Burbank and all of us who were too lazy to go down to Englewood or were not even close enough to the one in Alhambra decided to finally get a taste of that delicious chicken over in Burbank.
I have a daughter in college and she is at UC Irvine.
Oh, wow.
We will be going down and moving her in and visiting every weekend now just to try.
A blessing.
I did not know the Taco Bell headquarters was in Irvine. Huh.
There you go.
Now you know.
Now you know. I haven't gone to Taco Bell in such a long time, but Cheez-It will make me go.
You know, just take that opportunity. Take that opportunity. Say, you know what, they're doing something fun and different. I'm going to give it another shot.
I love Cheez-Its. They're great. They're amazing.
Okay, real quick. In your personal opinion, did extra toasty Cheez-Its, is that overdoing
it? No.
Not your bag. Okay,
no,
noted.
Just the plain old school. Maybe the white cheddar one.
Ooh.
Maybe the white cheddar.
They're so good.
Now, extra toasty is, for people who aren't familiar, is like burnt Cheez-Its. Yeah. They were like, hey, some people like these burnt Cheez-Its. This is the first time that I've thought that maybe you might need a burnt Cheez-It, because my one concern with this is that it gets a little soggy. Like the way that a cracker reacts to soup, like sometimes, which I still like, but I prefer a crouton because it retains a crunch a little bit. Whereas a cracker, like if I throw Cheez-Its, although I think I have thrown Cheez-Its in soup and they hold up pretty well. Mm-hmm. So we might be okay. I might have just talked my way out of that one.
I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I appreciate
the concern.
They
would have done this to us.
No, I mean, like that nice buttery Cheez-It, it can find a way to kind of crumble in your hands or melt in your mouth as it does. It's so delicious. But I think there's a thickness quotient here that Taco Bell has taken into account when considering it for the structural backbone of one of their most popular items. You
Do
can't
we know
let
why
that fail.
It's just at that one restaurant? Like, are they testing it out to see if they're going to mass produce it?
You know, that's a good question. Something tells me that it being near the HQ is like the testing grounds. The test kitchen is at the headquarters. And let me tell you from personal experience, you cannot simply just go to the headquarters and ask to see the test kitchen. They will kick you out of the building. And
yeah. They have better security than the Capitol building. They
significantly.
Will, yeah.
Yeah. The person at the front was not having it. No. But I think it must be. It has to be a radius to the headquarters thing where they're just like, yeah, throw it out there. And honestly, it's succeeding. They're getting the clicks. They're getting the talks right now from fools like me who are going to see this and be like, gang, guess what? The coolest thing ever just happened. Because I'm constantly starved of good news these days and I take it where I can get it.
Cheez-Its. Exactly.
Cheez-Its.
It's being described as an abundantly cheesy and nostalgic, yet magically modern dining experience.
How is it nostalgic if it's new?
I think Cheez-Its, like for people who grew up on Cheez-Its, like that might be. But I was going to ask how it's modern because Taco Bell is not breaking any new ground here. They're
still around.
They're recombining.
Lila has no idea. She doesn't do the junk I do.
Good for you.
When is there going to be like a French fast food restaurant?
Oh my God.
We can get some moule frites. The drive through. We can get a little bit of
bougie.
But yeah, a little bougie. I'm a little bougie. Yeah. No, but we used to do like the Taco Bell used to have like the 59-cent tacos. Remember that like back in the day?
Yeah. 100%.
Oh yeah. And you would get like six of them.
Oh yeah. Get the box. Little thingy. Bring it to a party. Nobody's mad at that.
T-Bell
party. Why is it sounding like a Fergie song? Doesn't Fergie have a song where she starts off like, I was at the Taco Bell when I was little.
That sounds like a horrible song.
No, I swear. There is a Fergie song where she starts off, it's like, and in the town.
No,
that's living the life in the fast lane.
Thank you, Justin. You nailed
it. I'm not
glamorous.
Crazy.
Glamorous by Fergie. I still go to Taco Bell, drive through, raw as hell. I don't care. I'm still real no matter how many records I sell.
Yeah.
Fergie's I win.
Fergie's for the people.
I thought that was Jack Harlow.
He sampled Glamorous for his song.
I need to watch
Justin
TikTok.
To the rescue.
Yeah, you're
Justin
all good.
Justin to the rescue.
Thank you, Justin. It's also
still
a shout out.
Go to the Taco Bell drive through raw as hell.
Yep. And shout out to longtime TDZ regular Christy Yamaguchi main for iterating the same kind of idea with their now extremely viral tweet about. You'll go to Taco Bell at midnight and still find a like Mercedes, you know, CL35 AMG right in front of four people piled on top of a Vespa, right in front of like a broken down car with somebody in it. Everybody's eating Taco Bell.
Yeah. If you haven't tried to go through a Taco Bell drive through on foot and been turned away, then I don't know what to tell you.
For the record, to them, on a bike is the same as on foot. Yeah. Even though I'm like, I'm in a vehicle. Yeah. They're like, no, you're not.
Oh, they won't let you? I only tried it walking because I didn't have a bike. I was way too drunk at 3 a.m. before bikes were like before city bikes
before bikes
were
invented.
Yeah, before bikes these bicycles, yeah. These no, newfangled that. Bicycles. Mm-hmm. I was on a penny farthing and I was too drunk to stay up top.
What does it say about your podcast that we stayed on this longer than the January 6th hearings?
It says that we have a good show.
It
says that we cover we cover all the different angles of our societal decline.
Mm-hmm.
Both the soft cultural and the political.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.